would see that we're gearing up for something that is important to us, and we're about to have a collective experience that will improve our situation.
Gee, you scared me for a moment. I thought I heard your positive karma slipping.
What did I say?
you said that the gray or the any colored alien might look at us as a plague, I think you said, or...
Well, I'm not the only one to have said that, because we have destroyed the biosphere pretty much, you know, and we've depleted the resources, and we kill each other. You know, there's a better way to do a planet.
You talk of pole reversals. I'm beginning to feel as though we have role reversals here. First time caller line, you're on the air with Moira Timms. Hello.
Yes, I have a comment to make to the gentleman who called in trying to say that all the prophecies that have... you know, that Jesus talked about, that he was saying that that this woman, what she's saying, it doesn't fit. Well,
he was taking the typical Christian view, sir, that there is no prophet walking the earth unless there is a 100% a correct prophet, which of course would have been Jesus, and therefore there can be no prophets on earth now other than false prophets.
Yeah, well, I have to differ with him because, first of all the prophecies concerning the end of the world, they pertain to the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, thus being fulfilled almost, 2,000 years ago. I'd have to agree more with your host that we're going into a new time period, or as you would say yourself, into this quickening where we're evolving into a higher being. But not to insult that man, but I just think it'd probably be a little bit better if most fundamental Christians would just do a little more research and study, and they'd probably find some of this stuff to be true.
Okay, thank you very much.
I could add a little something to that. Thank you, caller.
Sure.
I would just add, it is very clear that what was being prophesied, because they said it would happen within the lifetime of the disciples, was the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. But because this is an archetypal prophecy, it is good for all time, for all people. And it repeats itself in different ways. So it wouldn't invalidate in any way the fact that something that was a fulfillment of that prophecy happened in 70 AD. The same prophecy is still valid now, just on a larger scale, you see?
Okay. Moira, what is your view, your personal take on Gordon Michael Sky?
I think Gordon is extremely sincere. I believe he really does his homework. He's very honest about his track record and how he arrived at his visions.
Mm-hmm.
He has batteries of people working for him to ground the information with the scientific record. You know,
mm-hmm.
like he had a vision about crust slippage somewhere or tectonic upheaval.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
What is the geological record saying? So I feel he's about as responsible as you can get.
As responsible as you can get.
Yes.
When he says something like, watch Etna, and watch Vesuvius, and if you see either one of them heating up, that will be the beginning of the severe cycle of the major earth changes that are coming. Have you heard him say that?
I haven't heard him say that.
Oh, well, he said that.
I don't know everything he said, but I know Edgar Cayce also did say that, and I can tell you what that is based on.
Oh, I was just wondering if you would ask Gordon Michael or Edgar Cayce, were he alive, why they would give out this information.
Well, because the point on the planet that is exactly opposite turns out to be the Fiji Basin in the Southwest Pacific,
mm-hmm.
you see.
Oh, yes,
and,
I do.
Remembering some of the conversation with Richard Hoagland,
yeah.
he was talking about, I mean, I'm paraphrasing a layperson's language here.
That's
something,
fine.
The way I understood it was like at 19.5 degrees above or below the equator
yes.
is where interdimensional stuff comes into the system of a revolving sphere
mm-hmm.
or goes up. So what the place that is opposite Etna, being the Fiji Basin, is 19.5 degrees. That is the largest subduction zone in the Pacific.
Indeed.
One plate folds under another. So 19.5 above the equator is the Hawaiian Islands, where the biggest outpouring of volcanic
again correct
stuff comes up.
Yes.
So apparently there are internal dynamics with the rotation of the planet. So Etna is simply the point opposite the major subduction zone.
No question about it. My question went more to would you inquire of them why they would dispense this information? To what end?
Well, that is an echo of what I asked you earlier.
I meant to echo it.
Because out of all the events that are occurring, there's some that are just, you know, general and random, but there's some that are pivotal and key. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of Etna and the Caspian Sea and the Southwest Pacific are key events. And I do have some extra information along those lines. Just before we went on the air, I was telling you that Jeffrey Goodman had written a book called We Are the Earthquake Generation. And he had given a sequence of key pivotal events based on a consensus of psychics. And I found these notes now. So he was saying if there should be, I guess he's talking earthquakes, beginning in India, there would be a sequence that would be key. So that would be something to look out for.
Okay.
An earthquake beginning in India, going to Japan,
mm-hmm.
I guess next being showing up in Italy, in the Vesuvius area, then Mount Pelee, which is near Martinique, and then the West Coast.
Well, I'm sure you're aware of the new activity in all of the areas that we just talked about. Moira, hold on. We'll be right back. All right, we're working very hard on getting Moira Timms back online. Thank you very much, telephone company, for A, the lousy connection, and then B, breaking it when we least expect it. But that, too, I'm centered with and used to. It happens all the time. With a little luck, Moira Timms back on Dreamland in just a moment. Stay right there. This is Moira Timms, her book, Beyond Prophecies and Predictions, Everyone's Guide to the Coming Changes. And we've got her back on the line once again. Moira, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Sorry about that. Phone company has been very bad lately. I've got a fax here, Moira. Art, will you please ask Moira what her take on Hale-Bopp is, its significance and relationship within the prophecy that she has been researching? Do you know of Hale-Bopp?
I do, yes. I think it's extremely interesting that it's showing up right now and that, you know, there's something about it that we haven't quite got a handle on. The means of pole shift has never been clearly understood, but when we look back at the historical record, it does seem like the major geological changes that came about, like the extinction of the dinosaurs and the changes of the great geological ages, like the Cretaceous Tertiary boundary and things like that, were because of comet collisions. So, you know, many people in looking at the phenomenon of pole shift have wondered what could be the instrument that would cause it. And cometary bombardment is something that has been common to all the planets in the solar system, including ours. So all the votes aren't in yet as far as what this comet is, when it's, you know, if it's going to come significantly close to the Earth or not. It's definitely showing up at a time when we're thinking comets.
1.5 AU, according to the astronomers. Of course, that's all we know right now. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Moira Timms. Hi.
Hi. I'm really pleased to get through. And
where are you?
I'm in Columbia, Missouri. My name's Julia.
Hi, Julia.
To speak to my host of my favorite radio show and the author of my favorite prophecy book. And I really enjoyed this book because it's so coherent. When I read your book, you put things in a really good framework. And I even have, like, some notes from your book here, a timeline that I made, because I've read many prophecy books in the last few years, and you really do go beyond just the sort of hit-and-miss approach many of them have, and it is, you did make things very coherent, and I appreciate that.
Thank you, Julia. I appreciate you letting me know.
Oh, good. And I was wondering, I had written down for the year 1995, you had written that we're in the beginning of a 6-year process transforming our relationship to the sun and magnetism. And I was just curious, you know, Art's gotten a lot of calls lately from people about changes in the magnetic field, the feeling that it has changed. And I know that in Columbia, Missouri, as silly as it sounds, several people have noticed lately that we're at a different place on the compass than we used to be. And I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about that, what you meant about transforming our relationship to the sun and the relationship to magnetism, if you could elaborate on
that. All right, Julia, thank you. Moira?
I'll try and be succinct, Julia. It is a fact that the magnetic fields of the, or the magnetic poles of the Earth have been shifting incredibly fast since the mid-50s. They've been updating the Navy isogonic maps every 5 years. Magnetic poles used to shift about 2% a year, and since 55, it's been 400% a year. So they've had a satellite up to look at this to understand the mechanism at work. But the magnetic field of the planet is generated by the spin. And so as the planet slows down, the gravitation seems to weaken also. And that diminishes the shielding around the planet so that cosmic energies like the ultraviolets and the holes in the ozone layer are more likely to penetrate the Earth. It's an interesting phenomenon. It's part of the pole shift cycle, I believe. Scientists are not clear whether the magnetic poles shift at the same time as the geographic poles. I think periodically it could be both together. But the last time, interestingly enough, the last time the magnetic poles shifted was at the time of the flood. That would have been about 10,400 BC. And so the magnetism controls the planetary grid. I could say something a little bit more about the planetary grid.
Let me ask this, Moira. Do you believe that the pole change, when it occurs, is a slow, gradual process from a mortal point of view, or is it an instantaneous process?
Well, historically, it's been an instantaneous process. And so what I'm thinking, and this is pure speculation, of course, if everybody acted appropriately for one day, you know, whatever that means, that would create incredible change on the planet, right? I believe what we do collectively influences this kind of thing. I think there's a misunderstood connection between, you know, human consciousness and geophysical realities. So I would suggest that if we could all do it right or improve the way we do things, then it could be a gradual process, because it is a process that needs to occur, to recur periodically. On the other hand, if we continue to screw up the way we have, it could be entirely catastrophic. And so we don't really know. But anyway, when I was talking about a change in our relationship to the sun, this was related to the fact that the sunspotting cycle has also been irregular. And since, I think, 75, there have been more sunspots than usual. So these solar storms that periodically recur have been out of phase and more intense.
Sorry.
And it's a scientific fact that sunspotting does affect human consciousness in various measurable ways. So this all has to do with this evolutionary shift that we're embarked upon.
All right. We don't have a lot of time, so let's see how many calls we can get in. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Moira Timms. Hi.
How you doing? I wanted to backtrack a little bit, if I may.
You may. Where are you, sir?
I'm in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
My name
is Stephen.
All right, Stephen.
I believe it was in the last hour you were talking about the tombs underneath the Sphinx.
Yes.
I've been very interested in that, and there was a couple of things I was wondering, and I wanted to touch on. First of all, I wanted to know if there was any way, you could tell me how I could follow that. Where would I go to get information on that?
The answer is simple. Listen to my program. It's all here all the time. And to repeat what Moira said, she talked with Gordon Michael Skyen about 2 days ago, and Moira, you check me if I'm wrong, but he told you that the message was that what will be revealed in Egypt over the next year will cause people to gasp.
Yes. I didn't mean to say that there were tombs underneath the Sphinx, but just canals. And but there has been a workman's village excavated in the area where there are tombs. I am taking a group of people to Egypt in March, the spring equinox next year.
Oh, yes.
We're going to do some grid engineering. We're going to reenact an ancient Egyptian ceremony to bring positive energy into the planet and the grid system at the sacred site. So this has implications for planetary healing and personal inner work, too. So we'll be exploring some of these sites.
Okay. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Moira Timms. Hi.
Yes. Your guest had mentioned a Graham Hancock's book, Fingerprints of the Gods.
Yes.
And in that, he had mentioned, or actually, he gave a date. I believe it was 2012.
Yes.
December, sometime in December. Well, you had had an interview with Richard Hoagland, and he had said that he had gotten together with Graham Hancock and come to the conclusion that the date was inaccurate.
By about 6 years, I think.
Yeah, spring of 97, I believe.
Right.
Which is right around the time when Hale Bopp is supposed to come around.
Right again, April 1st.
Yeah. Now, your guest had mentioned... Your guest had mentioned that... where was I going with this? I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
Could I just suggest that the idea of 2012 was a consistent idea to all the civilizations of the ancient world. They did not have a Gregorian calendar. And so Mayan shaman that are very active right now give the year 2012 as the date. It was a consistent date for many of the ancient cultures. They all agreed on that. So I don't think it's for a Western student to invalidate that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something going on. It will be a culmination of the whole thing. And the way the prophecy goes is everything will be complete around the year 2000. And the way the Maya tell it is the additional years until 2012, they call that the beak of time. It's a sorting out period.
Well, could this comet in fact be the like what the Sumerians had mentioned a long time ago, Nibiru?
Well, I think that if you'll recall, we've had recent guests that have called it the harbinger. I had Zachariah Sitchin on, and he called it the harbinger,
like a precursor.
Yes,
I guess.
Yes, uh huh. You may have missed that show. Would you care to comment on that, Maura? I had Zachariah Sitchin on.
Yes, this is possible. I think it's still the outcome is still uncertain. There have been a lot of conferences in various parts of the world on cometary collisions. It's definitely something that people have been giving attention to, and they've even been trying to get a government program together to deflect any vectors that would come too close within the Earth's orbit.
Mm-hmm.
So. You know, it remains to be seen what the scientists have to tell us about it. But mythically, it's arriving at the right time to have some impact upon the Earth.
All right.
Whether that's psychological or physical, I couldn't say.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Moira Timms. Hi.
Yes, this is Mark from Collinsville.
Illinois. All right.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Noria, earlier you mentioned the shaking of the heavens, and I believe you said that the Greek translation of heaven was the planet Uranus.
No, I said that the word is Uranus.
Uranus.
So that is, you know, the root for words that have to do with that.
That sounds close.
Uranus.
Have you ever considered the Sumerian translation of heaven as being the firmament, the hammer bracelet, or what we call today the asteroid belt, which lies between the orbits of Jupiter and Mars?
No, I wasn't aware of that.
You need to read some of Sitchin's books.
And
with this Hale Bopp, it's supposed to be coming between Jupiter and Mars, and so did Nibiru.
Well, it is now presently out beyond the orbit of Jupiter.
Yes, but it's supposed to come between Jupiter and Mars.
Quite correct.
On retrograde.
Yes. Call toll-free 1-800-618-8255.
Good night.
Good night, sir. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Moira Timms. Hello there. Oh, no, I've got the wrong line. First time caller line, you're on the air with Moira Timms. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Turn your radio off, sir.
Okay.
There you go. Okay, you're on the air.
Yes, I had a question for Moira.
All right, where are you?
In Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Okay. Go ahead and ask.
Yes, I had a question. I was wondering, does she believe in the six-day theory concerning a day with God is like 1,000 years? And if she does, how can she correlate that with mankind continuing to live on and die out?
All right. Do you believe that creation was as is described in the Bible, Moira?
Well, I think it's metaphorical. I mean, divine
Genesis.
Celestial time is different than Gregorian time. That's all linear, you know, chronology that we have. I think there were six stages of evolution, you know. First off, there was energy, then there was gas, right? And then there was plants and animals and humans. And I think we're at the point where we're going to progress from Homo sapiens to probably something that would be more like Homo Christos, a blend of human and divine, superhuman people.
Another jump in evolution.
Yes, definitely a jump in evolution.
All right, hold it right there for a moment. We'll be right back to you. Leprina is liquid aspirin. It will relieve pain of any sort that you've got. Now, obviously, if you've got a headache, you're not going to spray it all over your head. But for some guys send me a fax like that. But for any other part of the body, sore knee, sore shoulder, rheumatism, arthritis, those kinds of things that you would normally take aspirin for, because aspirin is a wondrous pain reliever. You don't have to swallow it. It doesn't have to go through your digestive system. You can spray it on. Somebody should have thought of this 100 years ago. Leprina is available now. It's aspirin. It's in a liquid spray-on bottle. And the way you get it is call 1-800-308-4565. It's a very reasonable cost. It's a bargain for this revolutionary new product. Now, they can tell you at Health Naturally, the company, how you can get it at even a greater savings. Call them 1-800-308-4565. We all know that information is what it's all about, and if you want to be plugged into the latest, hottest, hard data on UFOs, I've got something for you. Please get a pen and paper. It's called UFO News World Report, and it's just brimming with the kind of information you've been looking for. UFO News searches the world to objectively cover the alien spectrum, from sightings and encounters to alleged abductions, government cover-ups, packs it all into one concise newsletter. At a special holiday offer of just $19.95 a year, UFO News can cover the world for you. Formatted and written by seasoned journalists, you'll have monthly access to all this hard-hitting information and more. Now you can be current in this tantalizing and elusive field of UFO phenomena. Find out what's happening. Call 1-800-830-9830. That's 1-800-830-9830, 24 hours a day. Or send a check for $19.95 to Box 2757, Anaheim, California, 92814. It's guaranteed. You'll love it or your money back. Call 1-800-830-9830. All right, and to remind you to get a copy of this program or any other Dreamland program, or to renew your subscription for our newsletter, which goes up in price December 10th, so it's good that you would do it now before that date comes, and it's getting close. The number is 1-800-917-4278. 1-800-917-4278. By the way, the January issue of our newsletter is going to be all about, exclusively about, what I call the quickening. That number again is 1-800-917-4278. Moira Timms back again. Moira, are you there?
Hello, Art. Yes.
Good. The phone company is nice to us one more time. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Moira Timms. Hi.
Hi, Art. Hi, Moira.
Hi,
my question is, first, I need to know, you said you believe there's a God or a good force. Do you also believe there's an evil?
Yeah, I do.
Leads up to my question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You do?
Yes, the answer is yes.
Okay, then I'm a Christian, so I kind of, I don't want to, I'm setting you up here. if there is a good and an evil, and I believe the Bible is true, would not the evil, if I was evil, say, I would set up many, many religions. I wouldn't have just Satanism. I would have many religions so close to what the actual truth is to distract and lead people astray and muddy up the waters, so to speak. And I feel that the prophecies in the Bible lead up and tell us about a one-world religion that will all believe the same thing in this higher consciousness. And I think that the truth is mixed in so much in your message and many other messages as to distract from the Bible.
All right. Thank you. My that's a very interesting point of view. I guess I would say, why would an all-powerful God allow such so many people to go down false, misleading trails? That's not my kind of God. Moira?
A wise, loving, omnipotent God, in my view, would create unity within all people. He would not create division where one small minority would control the truth. And when you understand Jungian psychology, there's a way to realize that whatever is the evil is the shadow part of ourselves. It's the evil part that we're not willing to acknowledge in ourselves, but we project it out onto other people. But because we're all more similar than we are different, if you will examine your own shadow and really do your inner work and your own inner spiritual work, whether it's aligning with Jesus or, you know, the true religion of your choice, then you will realize that only that which we don't understand is perceived as of the devil and of evil. So unity is what God wants. He doesn't want division where there's only the saved and the sinners and the condemned. And so I feel any religion that promotes separation is not the true religion. And I feel that certain misguided attitudes are the real devil in the world, and the people who think that they are, some of the people who think that they are the only ones, are part of the problem.
I think there is.
I'm sorry to say that, but that's how I feel.
Well, I think there is no single path. There are many paths, probably headed in both directions. And a Supreme Court justice once said of pornography that he could not quite define it, but knew it when he sees it. And most of us know good and know evil when we see it or feel it or do it or think about it, right?
Yes.
So that would mean there would be many paths. One more quick question. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Moira Timms. Hello.
Hello, this is Fritz from Phoenix.
Hi,
just
Fritz.
Just a quick comment.
Yes.
Art, as a student of life, and you know I've been calling and listening to this show for years,
oh, yes.
It's my opinion that mankind, as we know it, has reached a point of no return in the early 70s.
All right.
Now, I've only 50% of all the predictions come true that were given to us by all the prophets the last 500 years. The human animal, that what we are, will in the end learn to live together and respect creation and nature.
All right, thank you. That's going to have to do it. Moira, where can people get your book?
Well, they can get it nationwide in all bookstores. If they're out of it, it can be special ordered. Or they can call me on my voicemail, and I'll be happy to take their name and address.
Okay, what is your number?
I would just like to say, if anybody is interested in traveling on a very special historic trip with me as a group to Egypt to do some important and exciting and powerful work at the Equinox, please let me know on the voicemail also, and I'll send you details.
All right,
so
and that
the number? It's area code 541.
541.
343. 5392.
Let me give that again. You tell me if I'm wrong. It's area code 541-343-5392. Is that correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, and you're on the way to Egypt and would not mind taking people of a like mind with you.
Kindred spirits, light workers, people who want to do planetary healing and have a wonderful time.
All right, Moira, thank you for being on the program.
Thank you very much, and blessings on your work and light on your path.
Have a good night, Moira. And the same to all of you out there. The hours are closing on the book, the autographed book deal. It's 1-800-864-7991 from the high desert. I'm Art Bell. Good night.
This has been Dreamland, a program dedicated to an examination of areas in the human experience not easily nor neatly put in a box. Things seen at the edge of vision, awakening a part of the mind as yet not mapped. Yet things every bit as real as the air we breathe but don't see. Please join us again next week at this time for Dreamland.